Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the radio program Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network, AFR. Thank you for listening, and I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano helping me co-host today. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
You like the enthusiasm in which I introduced you right there?
I can dig it on a Monday. Like
the, and in this corner.
Like something from the WWE or something?
Ed, tag teaming with Tim Wildman and Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Fred Jackson.
Yeah, I'll stay outside the ropes on this one.
You just be the coach. All right, Fred and Ed and Tim, we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Ed, tell them how they can follow us on. That was your cue for your famous saying.
Oh, this here radio.
No, that their internet.
That their internet.
That their internet. Ed, I borrow that from you. I quote you often.
I know. I didn't know which of my many famous expressions.
No. How can they follow
that? That their internet.
That their internet.
And sometimes I throw in internets.
Mm-hmm. You know,
that their
right. No, which Al Gore and been in all of them.
Yes, that's right.
Quite frankly.
Well, folks, if you want to watch us
online,
we are live streaming on both Facebook and YouTube. Not sure why you'd want to watch this crowd, but you can if you'd like. You can go to either YouTube or Facebook and search for Today's Issues.
Search. You can search.
Yes.
You search there. You'll find. You seek and you shall find.
And you just click through, and you can watch us. We're live streaming the video.
Also, we have a podcast, don't we?
We do have a podcast. You can also download the AFR app to your mobile device, and you can listen to us anywhere you have internet access, you know, Wi-Fi, whatever.
I wonder where that term came from.
What?
Podcast.
It is, like a broadcast. Used to be a broadcast.
Gotcha.
So the podcast used to be onto your iPod. I think that's where it came
from. That's where that came. That makes sense.
I think so.
Absolutely. Fred, you watch the
Super Bowl. I'm so totally making that up.
But. Well, hey, it stands to reason.
Yeah.
Fred, you watched the Super Bowl last night?
It turns out, not by design, but I guess I caught the best part of the game. We were traveling.
Depending on who you're rooting for.
Yeah.
But yeah.
We got home around the end of the third quarter.
Yeah.
And when it looked like, you know, things were really going south. Sorry.
I'm a little sensitive about that use of the South as something negative all the time.
All the time.
But anyway, go ahead. I got it.
For the Chiefs, and the announcers kept saying, but in the postseason, the Kansas City Chiefs have had a knack of coming back from being down in double digits.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, but it's not going to happen tonight because this is the Super Bowl. And lo and behold, Kansas City Chiefs win the game. I mean, listen, I confess, unlike you gentlemen, I am not into football.
Right.
All right. But I do try to watch the Super Bowl because, you know, they're out doing their very best, both teams. They're not holding back for the next game.
Right.
They're out there and they're expending their energies and their talent. And, man, that was an exciting finish.
Well, here's the way I viewed it. I, as a Rams fan, lifelong Rams fan, I never root for the 49ers because they've been big rivals almost as long as I can remember. Mm-hmm. But Brian Fisher, one of our radio hosts here, beloved radio host, very popular, he is a huge 49ers fan.
He grew up out there.
Grew up out there. So I would not have minded if Brian got himself a championship.
But as we look at this with an eternal lens.
I didn't know we were.
Well, our Christian brother, Ray Pritchard.
Yes.
Yes.
Lives in Kansas City, and he's a Kansas City Chiefs.
And I have
Chiefs
another
fan.
Very good friend, Brian Gillespie.
So who's got four,
Chiefs
Brian
fan.
Or Ray?
Yeah, right.
Tell me, Ed, do you
know that? So I was rooting for the Chiefs.
Right.
Okay, because I I forgot about Ray, but I have a good friend who's a Chiefs fan, and they haven't won in 50 years or something.
Right.
So I said, I'm rooting for the Chiefs, not going to root for the 49ers. Uh-huh. But if the 49ers had won, I would have, let's put it this way, I would have been happy for Brian. But I was rooting for the Chiefs, and man, what a fourth quarter they had.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so anyways.
So if anybody was missing the excitement of the final minute or so of the game, it's going to be cut number eight. We just want to take you back to last night in case you missed it.
Okay.
Cut number eight. Okay.
Second and six. Williams makes a cut and will roll into the end zone for the touchdown. No flags. And they have done it. Chiefs are Super Bowl champions here in Miami as they win it here in Super Bowl 54.
I got to tell you, looking at this politically, I'm glad the Heartland won over the West Coast.
Over San Francisco.
I'm just saying. I have nothing. Yes. Over San Francisco.
You know, I was
home of Nancy Pelosi. I have nothing against the people of California on an individual basis. Collectively, I do, because
they keep voting for
these liberal far lefties who peer down their nose at flyover country. And guess what? What's right in the smack middle of, and smack is a word we use in flyover country,
Missouri and Kansas City.
What is right in the middle of flyover? I think. So you think God's involved
well,
here?
Well, let me just say this: I was reading some of the comments on articles about. Yeah. The after the game, and I got to say that insight that you had was not lost on a lot of the people making comments. There were people saying, "Couldn't happen to a better city, you know, better state." Nancy Pelosi is this divine
now
judgment.
Go wash off your sidewalks.
Yeah, is this for all the you know the cultural poison they pump into? And they go and you go pick up some used needles, heroin needles, and. There was a lot of that. Saying this was divine comeuppance.
Anyway, yes. I did think about, you know, that you can't get any more middle America than Kansas City.
Right.
Huh?
And they haven't won in 50 years? Is it 50?
Yeah, they won Super Bowl III. No, yeah. Super Bowl IV they won. They beat the Minnesota Vikings, the first of the
now,
first
I will
of
say
four
this,
losses for the Vikings.
God love President Trump, but he might want to – Huh?
Hey, he stumbled on his tweet.
He said Kansas. What did he say?
He thought it was Kansas City, Kansas.
Yes.
Well, it is, but it's also Missouri.
Well, it was Kansas City, Missouri that is the team that hosts is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
In other words, you're going to get an argument from the Kansas City fans.
Yes.
What I'm saying is Kansas City is a split. Part of it is in. Am I right?
It is.
Part of it's in Kansas, and part of it's in Missouri. The majority of it's in Missouri.
Right.
I understand that. But my point is President Trump congratulated the people of the state of Kansas.
Yes.
When he should have congratulated the people of the states of Kansas and Missouri. But anyway.
And I will just say one last lesson for all you young people who might have watched the game, okay?
Yeah.
And hopefully you didn't watch the halftime show. I did not watch it, but I've heard it was pretty raunchy. But – in the third quarter, after the 49ers stopped the Chiefs on a very big drive, they were still up by 10 points, looked like they were going to cruise to victory in the fourth quarter. All the entire defensive team that was on the field ran up to one of the cameras, and they all started mugging for the camera. You know, some of them sat down.
49ers.
The 49ers.
That is a good point.
And they were just doing the arms crossed and doing the
–
and I was watching, and I was saying, boys, this game ain't over yet. I hope you don't –
that's a life lesson right
live
there.
To regret that, uh-huh. Counting your chickens before the eggs hatch. Did I get that right?
I do miss sort of the old school view of sports where you had some humility to the game – till you've actually won the game.
Right. Yeah. They came back to
and
bite
even
those
then,
guys.
And even then, it's good to have your humility. Yeah. But anyway, I think Patrick Mahomes and some of the
Andy Reid, the coach.
They were very gracious and humble in their accepting the
again,
award.
You guys are experts on football. Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Just 24 years old.
Yes.
I mean, did he come out of the University College football system? Was he a star?
Oh, no, I'm sure he did. I'm not sure. Do you know where he played?
Texas Tech.
Texas Tech. Oh, wow. Yeah. And then They're up football throwing.
Yeah, Texas school. Tech University. I think he was the eighth pick overall, and I can't imagine what seven teams feel like right now who passed over him. Nah, we'll take somebody else. Mahomes can wait.
Well, 24 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. His arm looks like it, too.
Yes. Yeah.
So, anyway, I understand he's a Christian. The owner of the Kansas City, I was reading his profile last night, the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs, his name is Hunt. H-U-N-T.
Clark Hunt.
Someone was saying that he gave glory to God last night.
You read about him. He's a very open, outspoken Christian man.
There must have been a fair number of Christians on the team because watching some interviews after the game, there were several of the players from the Chiefs saying we were blessed this year. And kind of using kind of language, it sounded like it had some biblical roots to it.
One of the players on the Kansas City Chiefs is defensive lineman Chris Jones.
Yeah.
He's from right down the road from where we are.
Oh, okay.
From Houston.
Like down by Subway?
Houston, Mississippi.
Oh, no, not that close.
About 50 miles from here.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
I'm using a metaphor, Ed. But anyway, my son Walker.
Yeah.
Is the same age as him, and they played high school.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Walker remembers him, but I doubt he remembers Walker.
So this guy's a defensive lineman?
6'7", 310 pounds.
I bet he does remember him.
Lineman.
Wow.
He blocked like three passes last night.
I saw that guy putting his
claw up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
At critical moments, he blocked those.
Wow.
Yeah. I was texting Walker last night and said, hey, he's the guy you played against in high school. And he said, because he played quarterback, he said, oh, I remember him well. Because Walker's like 5'11", 150. Huh? he just thanks Chris Jones today just for not
ragdolling him.
Not killing him on the football field. All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. It's always good to see. I don't think God cares who wins a football game, but it is good to see a lot of good guys when they do win a championship and they give glory to God for how He's changed their lives, their personal lives. And so that happened last night. All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Meanwhile, back in the real world, what do you got?
They're getting set in Iowa for the caucuses tonight.
What time does that start?
7 o'clock.
What time is the halftime show?
I'm not sure. But it
can't be as bad as the Super Bowl was.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. We don't want to talk about the halftime show.
I don't think it merits talking about.
And I don't know how we could talk about it without describing the raunchiness. And listen, I'll just say this. Our country's in real moral trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they had on one of the ads, I think we talked about this last week, for hummus. I'm not even going to give the company in case somebody wants to make a point, Saba, whatever is the name of it. They had a couple of drag queens on there.
Yeah.
On their commercial. So this country's in deep moral trouble. Folks, you need to be praying for revival and start with our own lives.
I do find it ironic, more than ironic, that the same culture that promotes the Me Too movement, which is the end of objectifying women and sexual abuse and sexual harassment, which is a good thing, is the same culture that celebrates women acting like strippers at the halftime of the Super Bowl show.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, of the Super Bowl halftime show, which I did see part of it. I was at a public place where
they were playing it.
It was unavoidable to not see some of it. And it's all over the news about what happened at the halftime show. But that is ironic to me that they're going to get up. The people would say, oh, quit objectifying women. You know, don't treat them as just sex objects. Well, Hollywood presents, the same Hollywood who says what I just said, is the same group of people who sex sells. You know, they present the women as
sex objects.
Sex objects.
There's only one way to explain which you just explained,
yeah.
Which is the self-contradictory nature of hashtag Me Too and then the objectification of women, and that is rebellion against God. These people are in rebellion against God. They don't care about logic. People want what they want, and if you appeal to the base nature of human beings, generally you will hit your mark, and that's what's going on.
I'll guarantee you probably 98% of moms and dads, where they surveyed, would say, do you want your daughter to grow up and act like J-Lo?
Right.
Or the other...
Shakira, the other singer, entertainer.
Do you want your daughter to grow up and act like them?
Yeah.
Or act like them now?
Right.
They would say, absolutely not. I don't want my daughter being a sex object.
Right.
And, but here they are. They're in demand, evidently, because of their sexuality.
Right.
And they have some talent. They can dance and sing, but they can dance and sing with almost no clothes on.
Right.
So
right.
that's what you get. You're right.
I'm going to wind up in preach
okay.
mode.
Anyway, you're right. I guess that's the only way you explain it. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Should you like to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net. You said the Iowa caucuses are today.
So they're on tonight. Yeah. Folks get together at various venues across the state of Iowa. And
Democrats,
and they vote for their favorite candidate.
Can you go if you're a Republican? Does it matter? Do you have to be registered?
The Republicans? They would have a different day.
No, yes, I'm just saying if you're a Republican and you just want to be a part of the party. I'm just saying
I don't know what the restrictions are. Each state, the party in each state sets its own restrictions on that.
I'm in jest here partly because I'm really not in favor of crossing over to upset the
right.
You know, just to be what do you call it? Just to
ornery.
Yeah. Well, just you're participating in something it's an illegitimate vote because you really don't care about that.
Yeah.
But anyway, go ahead.
Well, yeah, and people are going to be watching now. This morning, and this can change by tonight. So what happens anyway, to go back to how this works, they vote, they hold their first vote of the evening, and if a candidate doesn't get 15%, their supporters go home or they get together and they say, okay, on the next vote, we're going to throw our support behind this candidate.
Right.
So what's been going on over the last week or so has been kind of, let's say Buttigieg doesn't do well in the first vote there, or another one of maybe Klobuchar.
Right.
So, if they don't do well, then their people may decide to throw their support behind Biden or Sanders or whatever the case may be. Now, according to the polls, the latest polls, it looks like Bernie Sanders may have an edge tonight.
Please.
That's the way it looks right now.
Please let it be so. Can I pull for Bernie tonight? Is it okay?
Pull for Bernie?
I didn't really have a dog in the hunt yesterday, although I'm glad the Chiefs won.
Yeah.
Tonight, I'm Bernie. Yeah.
Well, and Bernie would be happy for your support, Tim, because he was telling his people at a rally this weekend that basically both political parties are against him. Have a listen to what he had to say here. Cut number two.
We are taking on the entire political establishment, both the Republican establishment and the Democratic establishment.
Now, don't take that 10-second clip lightly, because this is a huge part of the story of this election this year. Now, what he's talking about, go back to 2016, when Bernie Sanders and his supporters were very upset because the Democratic Party establishment took him on. And basically, he feels he got cheated. Now, we have the same sort of thing. I think I mentioned this on our program last Thursday. Washington Post did this big story last week of the divide, the dilemma that's going on inside the Democratic Party right now. Bernie Sanders is far, far, far left. President Trump calls him a communist, okay? He's that far left. But here's the problem. He's got a lot of the young people. He's got the squad, for the most part, is backing him. So unlike 2016, it doesn't look like Bernie's people are going to go away quietly if they feel the Democratic establishment is going to work against them again. The flip side of that is you've got Democrats who say if Sanders is on the ticket come November up against Donald Trump, you've got Democrats like those in the swing state that helped the House, the Democrats win the House in 18. They say they will lose. If people go into the voting booth in November and they see Bernie Sanders as the possibility of the next president, they ain't going to vote for that Democrat. And they'll vote right down the party line. Listen. So this is a huge part of the story. Bernie is likely to do well in Iowa. He's likely to do well in New Hampshire. But Joe Biden is saying, wait for South Carolina.
I cannot remember a time, and I've been following presidential politics since Carter Ford, 1976. I mean, I remember well President Nixon. I was born in 63, so President Nixon would be the first president I remember in office. But I began to follow politics, Carter Ford. My dad was very interested in it. I learned a lot from him, and I read the paper and even watch the evening news as a teenager. I would keep up with this. And I can't remember ever a time when a party had such a dearth of good candidates that could win a national election. Is dearth the right word there?
Yeah.
I just can't remember. And we've used the metaphor before. You know, you got a baseball team, and the coach looks down the bench, and there's nobody there that can get a hit off the pitcher out there,
right,
on the mound, and the pitcher's Donald Trump,
right.
And it's just they're in a, and then you got this coming war. I mean, it's simmering hot right now. I got the metaphor.
You do.
Running out my ears, but I mean it's about to reach a boiling point, and I don't know who can simmer it down between Bernie Sanders supporters, in particular, but he also pulls in the I think he's going to probably start pulling in the Elizabeth Warren supporters who don't view her as being able to go to the finish line. Against the Democrat establishment as represented by Joe Biden.
Right.
Where am I today?
Yes.
Joe, where am I today? Biden.
Yeah.
And Hillary Clinton.
Barack Obama.
Barack Obama, he's a lefty, but he thinks Sanders will drag down the party. Maybe it'd be unrecoverable.
Yeah, listen, there is no solving this problem in the Democratic Party. When Fred mentioned the squad, we're talking about those four freshman Democrat women led by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. They see themselves as the future of the Democratic Party. AOC said Joe Biden doesn't even belong in my Democratic Party. Those folks are true believers in socialism. They're not going away. The establishment's not going away.
Tlaib, is that her name?
Rashida Tlaib.
She was booing Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
At an event for Bernie Sanders over the weekend, or yes. late last week. She was leading boos of Hillary Clinton. I mean, there is a war going on.
There is no avoiding it for the Democrats.
Yes. And I just got to say, it's a beautiful thing to watch. We shall return momentarily with more of today's issues.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
I have to say it was really a relief from all of the the headlines, the news that's just been so dreadful, a steady drip. And it was nice to see Americans gather in Miami and kind of be happy and having fun. We don't see that very often.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. Tim Wildman here from American Family Association and American Family Radio, where I serve as president. Hey, one of the special places we go on our spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C. is Arlington National Cemetery. Everyone on our tour gets so excited about that day when we visit the cemetery because of the patriotism that we all have and the love for our country and the appreciation for the men and women who've given their lives for our nation, for our freedoms, for our liberty, for our way of life. We're going to be visiting Arlington National Cemetery on the Friday of our spiritual heritage tours in Washington, D.C. in June and September, and we'll be seeing and experiencing the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. If you want the information on these tours, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. Again, spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My name is Dr. Andrew Fabich, and I teach microbiology here at Drew McConnell University. And so instead of trying to teach biology from this perspective that gives you this goo-to-you version of evolution, you get this perspective of this is who God is, this is who God has revealed himself to be, and he's revealed himself in nature, which is terribly exciting to study.
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. Loretta Lynn, the coal miner's daughter, says country music is dead. The country music legend mourned the passing of the musical genre during a podcast interview with Martina McBride. It's true that country music has been overrun by woke leftists. I wrote a chapter about the demise of country music in my new book, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. Country music, at its heart, is a uniquely American musical tradition rooted in heartbreak and hope, faith, and family. But in recent years, cultural progressives have invaded Music City. I write in my book about how the head of the Country Music Association Foundation hated Governor Mike Huckabee. The executive, who's a gay married man, said country music has no place for people like Huckabee, a kind-hearted, church-going lover of music. You know, it's sad to say, but Loretta Lynn is right. Country music is deader than a possum trying to cross a Mississippi highway. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, now I misplaced my eyeglasses. Doesn't take but 5 minutes, doesn't it? I'll find them. Don't worry about it, Brent. It's my fault. I'll find them.
They're probably over by the popcorn machine, I'm guessing.
I'm just glad it's not my keys or wallet. Keys, wallet. You got a priority list of things, you know, you don't want to lose.
Right.
Would you say wallet, keys, or cell phone would be the work?
Well, first of all, I would say you don't want to lose your faith, Tim. So you want to go right to the top with
Thank
that.
Thank you, brother, for that reminder, Captain Spiritual.
then I'd say okay. Wallet.
Right. So you're saying you can lose your faith there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well played, sir.
Hey, email and call Ed Tegnano if you want to talk about what I just – he's the one that said that.
Well played, sir. Okay. I will shut my mouth. Right. Now. So I was trying to go spiritual, but you one-upped me.
I tell you, there was one time I was looking for my glasses, and guess where they were?
On top of your head. Please don't say.
They're on my face.
Oh, man.
I think they were
– That's classic.
I don't know.
That's classic.
I don't remember why that happened. I think I
How about looking for your keys and you got them in your hand?
That's yes.
Happened. Yeah.
Huh?
It's serious?
Yes. Mm. Yes, Fred.
Yes, Fred, Mr. Perfect. It does happen to us regular human beings every once in a while.
Keys in your hand?
Oh, yeah. If you're,
well,
you're,
I mean, you know, you're
kind of, oh, we got to run. We're late. Yeah. Where's my keys? Yeah. I got them in your hand.
I tell you,
because Fred's always a half hour early.
The worst places things can get lost, and a lot of things can get lost, is that my wife and Allison call it no man's land. By your car seat, between your seat. Between the seat and the console.
Yes.
Where it's too, you can see it, but you can't get to it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And
you have to stop the car and get out and
reach
your hand. Yeah,
you can injure yourself.
You can lose fingers under
easy,
there.
Yeah, you know, stick them in there, never get them back.
Someone moves the seat.
All right, you're listening to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Fred, next story.
Okay, before we go to Fred, let me just jump in here real quick. I know we've been kind of chit-chatting, folks, but this week and next week, we are you'll be hearing this a lot on American Family Radio. AFR is partnering with India Partners. That is a ministry that operates safe houses away from the red light districts of Mumbai, India, where children of trafficked women can escape those brothel areas and be relocated. And so I'm just going to kind of give you the real quick information about this. This has been a very big ministry partnership over the last several years. $7.08 provides one day of safety, rescue, and care. And we are encouraging people to provide as many days as they can for a girl in this new safe house. This care that we help provide provides full room and board, full-time Christian schooling, private tutoring, medical attention, counseling, and sharing the love of Jesus. $100, for example, provides about 2 weeks of safety, rescue, and care. Here's the number to call if you would like to donate to India Partners, 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can give online at afr.net. You'll be hearing about this week and next week as we partner with India Partners. All right.
Fred?
Well, in advance of the Iowa caucuses, there are reports that have come out about Joe Biden's past and plagiarism. I don't know if you've seen this. So this takes us back, I think, 80s, I believe it was.
Yeah, I think he was in the, I think 87, he was running in the primaries for the Democratic nomination for the election in 88.
Said he wrote War and Peace.
Or at least apparently he plagiarized some of it. But no, this has been played out on the media this weekend. And what you're going to hear in just a few moments is some speeches from Bobby Kennedy and some of the words that he had in his speeches. And then, without crediting those words, Joe Biden says the same thing. Also, Biden plagiarizing Neil Kinnock. So let's have a listen to this, cut number 6.
Biden seemed to be claiming Kinnock's vision and life as his own.
Why is it that my wife is sitting out there in the audience is the first in her family to ever go to college?
Why is Gladys the first woman in her family in 1,000 generations to be able to get the university?
My ancestors who worked in the coal mines in northeast Pennsylvania don't come up after 12 hours and play football.
8 hours underground and then come up and play football.
It's because they didn't have a platform upon which to stand.
There was no platform upon which they could stand.
I should have said, to paraphrase Neil Kinnock, it's the only time I didn't.
But CBS News found a tape of a second instance.
Biden had appropriated a famous litany from the late Robert Kennedy about what the gross national product cannot measure.
It cannot measure the health of our children.
The health of our children.
The quality of our education.
The quality of their education.
The joy of their play.
Or the joy of their play.
I've done some dumb things, and I'll do dumb things again. So, ladies and gentlemen, I've been dumb.
That was from Joe Biden's greatest hits collection, right there, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking going old school. I'm talking Casey Kasem.
Yes,
was on the air back then. Right. That was mid '80s, and that was Joe Biden, then senator from Delaware, and he got caught up in plagiarism.
Did he ever?
And he exaggerated his academic record.
Yes.
He also, I don't know if this was back in 87, I think it was, and because he's repeating some of these same things now, mm-hmm. where he said that he protested during the Vietnam War, that mm-hmm. he was involved in that, and then then they found out that that was not true because the days, even the cities, a couple of cities where he said he was protesting didn't even have protests of the Vietnam War. But he has been saying some of these other things as well, marched for civil rights and you know, all the, and he's repeating some of these claims even in 2020.
I don't think the average Democrat voter cares about what we just played too much because they view it as, you know, what, a few decades ago?
Right.
Just like a lot of Republicans don't care what Donald Trump did 10, 20, 30, right. 30 years ago. They want to know about the here and now and what they believe the here and now. But it is funny to hear those exact – I mean, he was just – huh? I guess he got lazy one day and said, "Ah, give me a speech somebody else wrote, and I'll just use it."
I'll be honest. Some of that I would think you might blame on a speechwriter. I don't know. I don't know who wrote the speech, but obviously Joe Biden felt like he had to own it.
Let me ask you this, guy. Let me ask you this: is the pressure on Joe Biden now? Or will the pressure not be on him till you get through New Hampshire?
I think the pressure's on him now.
Yes.
Because he Real Clear Politics shows him in Iowa, for example, being 4 points behind mm-hmm. Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders in the New Hampshire primary, which is right next to his home state of Vermont, is expected to win that as well. Then I think Nevada is the next. That's a caucus day.
Yeah, that's
third, and
that's
then
right
South Carolina.
For Bernie Sanders. Am I right?
That's right. Caucus. So you don't want to go down. You know, the first three contests.
Yeah. Here's the difference with 2016. Hillary Clinton, like her or not, is a much stronger candidate than Joe Biden is in 2020. Hillary Clinton, ruthless politician, has the full backing of the establishment.
Right.
Well connected, you know, going back with Bill Clinton years. Bernie Sanders is a bigger force inside the Democratic Party today than he was in 2016. And if they try to push him out, we were just discussing that. I wanted to ask you guys, is there any possibility that if the establishment goes against Bernie Sanders, somebody else is at the top of the ticket, could we have a Ross Perot situation in 2020 where Bernie decides to run as an independent? Can he do that?
You mean, yeah, I mean, he could.
Well, so, he is an independent.
Well, he isn't. Well,
but he's running for the Democratic nomination.
Right, yeah.
But I don't think there's anything stopping you from running as an independent. Now, I don't know how... in terms of getting your name on a ballot, I don't know how many days out you have to do that.
Right.
Because the Democratic convention is what? Is that in July this year?
Mm-hmm.
The convention's in July. You're talking about November. I'm not sure. Obviously, the ballots wouldn't be printed until after the convention. So I guess you would have time. But that's a pretty short schedule.
What I see shaping up here is going to be a real test of the power of money. Let me explain myself. With people who abhor the power of money influencing politics, or so they say.
Hmm.
I'm talking about Bernie Sanders supporters. That's what, okay. Here's what I mean by this. We've talked about this early on the show. It's very easy now to see what's on the horizon. What's on the horizon is Bernie Sanders becoming a power broker. He will be a power broker himself inside the Democrat Party. And you're going to have the establishment of the party trying to mend fences with Bernie Sanders supporters at some point. Now, it may be irreparable, but that will depend largely on Bernie Sanders. And Bernie Sanders, I'm assuming he would be able to lead his supporters to hold hands with the establishment of the Democratic Party in the with the idea that we must join together to beat Hitler.
Right.
Right? Hitler being...
That's their view of Donald
Trump. That's their
view
of Donald Trump. He's Hitler. So we've got to join... That's what Michael Moore was screaming in desperation the other day. You know, people are going to have to get out and vote. We can't let anything stop us as we have to beat Hitler. So that will come down to what are the concessions that the Democrat establishment is willing to make in order for Bernie Sanders to be able to hold hands with the Democrat establishment on the stage to, again, to try to unite their party, the Democrat Party, to beat Donald Trump. And that will involve money. They will have to promise Bernie a lot of money. Now, I don't know about personally or not. I'm sure that could be a that could be an issue, but I'm talking about they'll have to give concessions to him to say, look, our candidate, whoever the establishment candidate might be, again, what makes this all very confusing and uncertain is, in my mind, there is no alternative establishment candidate to Bernie Sanders that can win or can even make it through the presidential campaign. Yes, I'm talking about Joe Biden. I don't think he's physically, mentally going to be able to hold up much longer before they have to have a family intervention.
Right.
And I don't, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, really?
We talked about last summer and in the fall the possibility of a brokered convention, which I think is not only possible but likely. Mm-hmm. And by that I mean you're not going to have a candidate with a majority of delegates for the first ballot, because I think you're going to see – well, the rules have changed for the Democratic primaries. It is now proportionate in terms of delegates. So if you get 51% of the vote in New Hampshire, mm-hmm. you get 51%, however they figure that, of the delegates.
Yes.
And so the next one might get 35%. So it's going to be hard to roll up a big number. So we were talking about the possibility of a brokered convention and do you bring someone else in from the outside? And I am increasingly starting to think that that is not going to be possible. I don't think you're going to see Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren willing to say, yeah, sure, let's bring in Hillary Clinton or candidate politician X.
They'd rather lose.
I think they would rather team up.
Right.
Yes.
I think Bernie and Elizabeth Warren would team up.
Elizabeth, you're calling me a liar.
Yeah. Warren? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think they would rather team up. And
who's at the top of the ticket then?
Well, then they'd have to decide that.
Because a woman, can a woman be elected president in 2020?
That would be funny. That would be funny, that conversation.
I have Bernie Sanders going, yes, here is the woman.
Yes.
That can be elected president.
But I'm increasingly thinking that you'd have outright rebellion if you tried to bring somebody else in who's not gone through this grueling process.
Again, the pressure is going to be brought to bear on Elizabeth Warren. Because she's going to be torn. Ideologically speaking, she is a Bernie Sanders clone.
Right.
Right? Pragmatically speaking, the establishment, the Joe Biden supporters on the Democrat side, they really can't afford for Elizabeth Warren to throw her support behind Bernie Sanders.
Right.
They need her to split the, quote, progressives. And bring at least half of them over to support Joe Biden. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
This is a perfect storm that could lead to calamity, at least for the next couple, 3-4 years for the Democratic Party.
Yes.
See what you were describing about maybe buying off Bernie if he does to get his support. That does not mean his supporters would buy it.
No, I know.
They would be very, very angry. You know, there's all these things enter into it. The superdelegates, which the Democratic Party, they were sensitive to the claims of Bernie Sanders and his supporters, that those superdelegates threw the election, the nomination process to Hillary Clinton in 2016. So they said this year in 2020, at the convention. Superdelegates can't vote, I think, until like the third ballot. Mm-hmm. So now, so you have a situation where are those superdelegates, are they all establishment people? Mm-hmm. If Joe Biden can't get the nomination for the first two ballots, do they then throw their votes to Joe Biden and and undercut Bernie Sanders again?
Yeah.
His supporters will be livid.
No.
I think this mess that you guys just been talking about is why the Democrats put so much into the effort to try to impeach the president.
Good point.
Because they know none of these individuals can beat Donald Trump. I don't think any of them can.
Barring some catastrophe.
Barring some catastrophe. Well, on the weekend, I think this aired perhaps during or preceding the football game last night. Sean Hannity sat down with the president this weekend for an interview. And Sean Hannity at one point, this is going to be cut number 11, Brent, asked the president to kind of give a one-word description of each of the Democrat candidates for president. So here is vintage President Donald Trump just giving a one-word description of each of his potential political enemies. Cut number 11.
I'm just going to throw out a name, whatever comes to your mind.
Okay.
We'll start with Joe Biden.
I just think of Sleepy. I just watch him. He's Sleepy, Sleepy Joe.
Hunter Biden.
Where's Hunter? Where's he?
Bernie Sanders.
Well, I think he's a communist. I mean, you know, look, I think of communism when I think of Bernie.
Elizabeth Warren.
At least he's true to what he believes. That's one thing. Because you mentioned now Elizabeth Warren. She's not true to it. I call her a fairy tale. Because everything's a fairy tale. That's how Pocahontas got started.
Michael Bloomberg.
Very little. I just think of little. You know, now he wants a box for the debates. Why should he get a box to stand on, okay? Then does that mean everyone else gets a box?
Hillary.
I think of emails. I think of the email scandal. How she got away with that is a disgrace.
Pelosi.
I think she's a very confused, very nervous woman.
Now that, you're just playing. You're just playing to Donald Trump.
That's vintage
forte.
Trump. Yeah. That's vintage Trump. He's not a one-hit wonder.
No.
Donald Trump's, he's got a long list of number one hits over the last few years.
Now, that was Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity knew exactly what he was going to do.
Is.
This is what I want.
Does everybody get a box? That's funny.
Yes, huh? Yes, it is.
That's funny. I don't know.
Never.
I know that sometimes President Trump, we all know, says and does things you go, that's not presidential, and I wish you wouldn't do that. Okay.
Right.
So you get that every once in a while. But the trade-off is you do get some refreshing, honest, you don't get coach speak.
Right.
What have you said? He's a New York.
Well, he's a New York street fighter.
Right. So he's going to talk like that.
Yeah.
And
what are you looking at? You know? That's what you're going to get with Trump. He's not going to be polite, and he's not going to lean over to his wife, Melania, and say, that guy's looking at me, and I don't know what his deal is. He's going to put his fork down and say, what are you looking at? You want to go?
Right. Right. That's what you get. But anyway, the part about Mike Bloomberg getting a box was,
is that true about
Mike Bloomberg?
I don't
know, but that made me laugh out loud right there.
That's come up before with Trump.
Well, I think what it is Trump's 6'3".
Yeah,
okay, Bloomberg, what is he, 5'7"?
He's
so, I mean, that's a crazy.
Diminutive.
So you put him in the boxing ring, you know, it wouldn't be a fair fight. Okay, so anyway, we'll see what happens there. But I'll tell you what Bloomberg does have.
I was going to check on how tall Michael Bloomberg is. So I started searching. Third search item, Mike Bloomberg height. I'm going to check. I guarantee that's because of Trump's comments. Mm-hmm. He's 5'8". That's not that short.
No. 5'8", probably little below average, but compared to 6'3".
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's
Joe Biden's 6 foot. Donald Trump's 6'3". Bernie Sanders, 6 foot.
Yeah. I mean,
I do see a picture of Trump standing next to Bloomberg, and he's half a head tall.
Towering,
so.
Yes.
Right. But I mean, what is he? Where did President Trump get the idea that Bloomberg's wanting a box?
I don't know.
Where did that come from?
You can just imagine President Trump sitting around somewhere, kind of having a light moment. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do with Bloomberg's?
Well, he can't. Well,
he needs a box.
I'm going to complain about the box. I don't believe we should. If he gets a box, I get a box.
Why shouldn't he get? Why shouldn't everyone? Why shouldn't everyone get a box?
Tell me, Mike, you making the government pay for that box? Are you? Yeah. Huh? Is that a socialistic box you got there? You know, the Bloomberg factor here is interesting because he's probably one of the top 20 wealthiest men in the country.
Yes.
I mean, he's got five times as much money as or more.
And let me tell you, every President time I Trump watch does. A sporting event, I see two or three Bloomberg ads.
Yes.
I mean, he's hitting it heavy.
Oh, he is.
With ads.
Yeah, he's going to the funny thing, if you watch from the outside, and I'm not a Democrat, but the Democrats pride themselves on being, you know, for the little man, right? Mm-hmm. And for the disenfranchised.
Another Mike.
No, I didn't. That was unintentional.
Okay.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do.
In society.
Right.
And yet they're about to let Michael Bloomberg buy his way in.
Oh, yes. Oh, listen.
And Michael Moore, you know, the
documentary.
Lefty spoke, you know, the public.
Makes documentaries.
He makes movies, yeah.
Yeah.
He is so livid about Bloomberg being able to buy his way into the Democrat Party stage, and that's just a sideshow over here. But it's really funny to watch these people who are against rich people.
Now, Michael Moore is
gladly take their money.
Yeah, he's a huge Bernie Sanders fan. Michael Moore, yeah.
Right. Bernie Sanders has become sort of a comical political figure here. Let's not forget what's driving the energy driving his campaign is communism and socialism. I mean, that's what his supporters are for. But when you get to have a lot of, when you make a lot of money, I'm talking about millions and millions of dollars, like a lot of these entertainers do and stuff. I want to know. You say you're for the Democrats and you're for Bernie Sanders. Now, not all the Democrats are going to promote the ideas that Sanders does, but it's a substantial, probably a majority of people in the Democrat Party. Are you for 90% federal income tax? You know, Jay-Z, or whoever, the Barbara Streisand?
Yeah.
Are you ready to give up 90% of your income? Because you really believe in Bernie Sanders? Or are you just saying that? You know, I don't know if Barbara Streisand believes and supports Bernie Sanders or not, but you get the idea.
Right. Well, yeah. And then a lot of these, like Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, they'll talk about income tax. They'll also talk about wealth tax.
Wealth tax.
Mm-hmm. And that's different than an income tax. Now, an income tax is whatever you make this year, the government gets 90%. A wealth tax means we figure out how much you're worth, and then we take X percent. That means you have to start liquidating. You have to start selling off paintings and selling off homes and selling off boats.
Okay, I want to know, Rachel Maddow.
Right. That's different.
Can we sign you up for that?
Yeah.
Huh? I mean,
that's
I'm
right.
Sure she makes a few million.
How does the government figure that? They come into your home and start saying, hey, that painting, how much is that worth? I'm telling you, this is a whole different world we're getting into.
And a lot of millennials are supporting Bernie Sanders because he's free stuff Bernie.
Yep. Right.
Huh? Mm-hmm. We're not going to take away all your college debt.
Yeah.
We've got free medicine for everybody.
Right.
I mean, AOC, she's a Bernie supporter. She says the government owes you an income.
Right.
This is how nutty some of these people are. We'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues. Our thanks to Fred.
All right.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.